Good evening. Let's take our hymnals and sing 136. Feel me now. 136. Hover o'er me, Holy Spirit, bathe my trembling heart and brow. Fill me with thy hallowed presence, come, oh come and fill me now. Fill me now, fill me now, Jesus.
Extend a welcome to each one of you that's here this evening, and maybe to some that are listening in over the phone too. And it's truly a beautiful way that we can spend the evening here together this evening. And I was impressed with the words of that song we were singing. I guess it's went along or added to maybe a thought that's been on my mind a little bit. And I think about the work of God, the work of Christ. And I guess it's been impressive to me over the last little while of what a miracle that is. Just simply a miracle. And it doesn't matter if that work is in a little child's heart, a young person's heart, if it's in our hearts, if it can be in the middle of a mundane day. And yet, I'm just impressed with the many, many times that God reaches down and He touches our hearts. He sends a little thought. And each time that it seems like that, each one of those is a miracle, isn't it? It's a miracle when there is an unction that is not of us, that is within our hearts, that moves within us. And I guess that's just been a beautiful thought on my mind here for the last little while. You know, we go through our lives, we go through our days, and sometimes we take a lot for granted. But the opportunity that we have to just simply, you know, it just takes that little, it takes a little belief in our hearts. Belief that God does care, that He will work, that He will help me, He will strengthen, He will inspire. But as our hearts believe that and as we reach out to Him, He fills the need time and time again. And to me, that's a miracle. And I'm impressed with that thought tonight. Verse has been on my mind throughout the day today. It's found in Philippians 2, verse 13. It says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." And it seems to me like that is His pleasure, as a seeking heart, a seeking soul reaches out to Him, that it is His pleasure to quicken, to inspire. And it is that miracle that we long for, isn't it? And I'm impressed with that tonight. We were singing "Fill Me Now," and that's a miracle that He can do that He can reach down with His Holy Spirit, that He can touch our hearts, that He can fill us, that He can fill the need, whatever it is. And I believe tonight, as we've gathered here, I believe that He will be here. I believe that we can all together just rest in His everlasting arms tonight. That for you, Luke and Sheila, that you can rest in that way, and that God can just simply be here. The miracle of His presence can be here tonight. And I believe that it will. I know that it will. He will be here. He has inspired the speaker already, I believe, and He will inspire the words that are spoken tonight. And may our hearts be open to receive that. And may we just simply ask Him to be here with us tonight. Let's kneel and pray. Oh, Father, Lord, we just simply open our hearts to You together here tonight as we've gathered in this way. Lord, tonight we will perhaps catch a glimpse of the beauty of Your kingdom and of Your church. We are thankful, Lord. We're thankful that You have worked and that You do work and that You will work among us in each one of our hearts, and that each one of us has the opportunity to allow You to work Your miracles in our lives every day. And as we simply follow, as we are obedient, and we walk in that way that You fill. For that we are grateful and thankful, Lord. And just be with us tonight. Be with Luke and Sheila. Give them calmness of heart. Be with the speaker as he shares the burden of his heart that You have placed there, Lord, that his door can be open, and that the door of Your, that all of the doors of our hearts can be open, that Your grace can just simply flow in, and that You can speak to us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Take our Christian hymnals and turn to number 354. 354. Thank you. Good evening, Christian greetings. May the Spirit of God rest upon this assembly. My heart has been warmed together with yours, I believe. It sounds like your voice has been warmed, or your heart has been warmed by your voice. The singing is beautiful this evening. I need thee every hour. I feel that. I need your prayers. I have never walked this road before, but I do believe that God is here. He's interested. And to you, Luke and Sheila, I wish you God's blessings and courage. I will be probably primarily talking to you this evening. But what the Lord has inspired me with applies to all of us. It really does. Two nights ago, I couldn't sleep. The Lord drew near with a message, and I thought the election was going to be successful. Didn't know for sure, but I thought. And may God be praised. He's answered our prayers, many prayers, on behalf of that election. I have three words that I want to title the message this evening, and we're going to focus on those three words this evening in some way or another, and that is faith, love, and humility go hand in hand. Faith, love, and humility go hand in hand. I was impressed with, and we're gonna read a little bit about Stephen. He was a man of faith. And as I think of our faith and the importance of keeping our faith alive, there is a living faith and there is a dead faith. And we're looking this evening, and we're going to focus on a living faith and what that brings. It's so important as a leader to have a living faith. And we're going to go through some points this evening pertains to a, or helps us have, makes us have a living faith. Aside from the shed blood of Jesus Christ, that is the foundation. We all know that. But we're going to go beyond that this evening. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 9. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 9. This is talking here of the qualifications of a deacon. And I was impressed with this verse. It says, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. Holding the mystery of the faith. As I have observed different deacons, I haven't been in the staff very long, but it has always amazed me that as we would come up against a situation and us ministers would say our thought and we would maybe spin out a little, and then the deacon would come in with his thought, and it just made sense. The mystery of faith. It's beautiful. Galatians chapter 5. This is where the love comes in here. Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. I want to focus on 6b. We're going to read the whole verse. It says, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. There we have it. That faith which worketh by love. Paul talks about having a faith and having shown his faith by his works. And how that faith is so foundational in a believer. As I think of a believer that is solid upon his God, and how that God is, that relationship with God is warm. How his faith is alive in him. That warms my heart this evening. That faith puts in the God, he imparts his love to that individual. And yet he can work in the love of God through his faith in Christ. It's impressive to me. Now we're gonna read. I'd like to just go through my verses here, and then we're gonna go forward here. Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6, verse 5a. This is talking about Stephen, and it says, and the same pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. And as we go through this evening, Luke, you're gonna feel, I believe, you're gonna feel like a little child that's following your dad in the footsteps of snow that is knee deep, and you can't keep up with those steps. There's a part of being little on the start of this journey that is real. I've been there, still there, and it's important that we stay there. To be small in our own eyes, that's that humility. But that making those steps is going to seem impossible some days. And as we read through Stephen's life, wonder if we can attain. But I'm impressed with his faith. Verse 8 says, and Stephen, full of faith and in power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Verse 15,
And all that sat in the council looked steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been, the face of an angel. There was something there in Stephen's life, that his faith that he had there towards God, and his love that he had towards God, was of such a nature that it empowered him, and it gave him the strength to say this defense in chapter 7. Somehow that he could stand before that council, the Sanhedrin, and he could point to them the way of Jesus Christ. The way that he had found in his own heart, his own faith. How he had faith that Jesus came and died for his sins. And we're going to come to that point in a living faith here later on this evening. But that is so important to keep that alive. That remember what we were saved from. If we go into chapter 7, verse 55, this is after he had made his statement there, went through a lot of the history of the Israelites, and they gnashed their teeth. What does it say? They heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And then 59 and 60 says, and they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. The love he had for his enemies was impressive to me. So as we think of some of these points you could read out of Bible Doctrine and Practice, as I thought of a man as a leader, that to lead, you have to be willing to be led. To lead, you have to be willing to be led. And that being led is what's so important, to keep that in one's mind. That as he faces the perplexities of life, and this goes for all of us, but like I said, I'm gonna be speaking here to Luke. We all have and need to have a living faith. And I want to inject this part here this evening. Luke, this audience this evening is impressive to me. As I think of, we have the young children, the young babies, the noise of a crying baby is comforting to my ears. We have the youth, the vitality. And then we go on up to the young marrieds and the middle age, the heartbeat of the congregation. Then we have the old papas. That's the ballast in the ship, brethren. You will find that this group will be your support and your strength. This congregation. That as you are willing to be led, that leading is going to take you to your brethren for counsel, maybe, for direction in your own life. It's important to exercise humility. I don't think this evening that I can stress it enough, is the importance of humility. To understand your weakness and where you came from. It's important, very important. And as I think of your life, as you start down this road, the importance of a living faith, and number one, a warm relationship with God. That your prayer life, that path to prayer, we sing that song in gospel hymns, the path to prayer. Make that path familiar. Find a place every morning to kneel down and bring your thanksgiving and your requests to God. I've been working on that lately. Is working. I don't know if I should say it that way, but I've been working on my thanksgiving. That there are things that you will find in life that the weight that the calling brings, that somehow you need to find the beauty of the congregation, the beauty of humanity, the beauty of creation, the beauty of the love of God, that relationship that you have with your Heavenly Father, that it's important that you keep that intact and you thank Him every day for the blessings that He has given you. The warm relationship with God. Another point that's important is having a holy fear of God. And as I think of fear, there are, we like to run away from that word, fear. But I think this fear here that we're talking about this evening is a different fear. That somehow you realize that you are not the only one that's involved. But that there is a supreme being, a heavenly Father, that has created you, given you your family, given you your wife, your children. And God has planted you here in Fairview, Oklahoma at this time to be a servant. And please, brethren, apply this to your own life. It's applicable to all of us. It is my belief that God is interested in detail. He's interested in our path. And He's interested in what is coming tomorrow. He's interested in our perplexities, in our questions. Another point, and I've touched on this, but a strong appreciation for what Christ has done for me. As I think of that, that has become more and more meaningful to me. The importance of being in Christ and the importance of what Christ has done for me. That He came down to this sin-cursed earth and He saved me from my sin. It was nothing what I had done. It was by His love for me. Another one is obedience motivated out of my love for God. Obedience motivated out of my love for God. As I think of, again, as I think of our situations in life, the times that we wake up at night and those things come to us. They bombard us. Maybe. Or maybe it's just a quiet. They can come in both ways, I think. We have the facts of life. We have the situations that we deal with. We have our relationships that we deal with. And there's a quiet thought that comes and he says, maybe you should go and talk with that brother. Maybe you should open this up. And then the question comes, well, what's he going to think? what is he going to think? But as I think of a man that is humble, that he has the Spirit of Christ within, that he has these points that I have talked about here, that he realizes his lost state and condition and how that Christ came and saved him. He understands that. And he realizes that he doesn't have all the answers in life. And he simply goes with a prayer on his heart. That he's willing to go and just speak a word or have a listening ear. I think that's something that is good to exercise, is a listening ear. There's been too many times that I get into a situation and I think I need to have the answer. I think that I need to go with an answer. And beloved ones, it's not that way. It's more that you go there. I've tried to exercise that. I feel very unlearned in even speaking about this because I'm still learning. But to somehow go into a situation with an empty mind. I hope you know what I mean by that. To go in there and to be tuned in to your mind and attentive to the thoughts that come through as the brother spills his heart. And then when it comes, to be willing to say it. That's part of that obedience. Motivated out of my heart for my love for my God. You know, there's something about when we go with our guns full, that God doesn't bless that. We think we have a preconceived idea of how something's supposed to come out. We think we know. But as we sit and we listen, we try to steal those thoughts. Then God comes through and he so gently guides us in a gentle way and to have a gentle answer. I have only one more point here that impressed me. And it would touch more on the humility as a teachable spirit. It has been said before that the church has never excommunicated an individual with a teachable spirit. I've thought of that. I've wondered about it. But there's so much to that. Of the part of being teachable, your brethren will feel that. Your brethren will feel that. That as you work and you labor before the congregation, and how that you can somehow, I think it goes together with these other points that I brought out here. That your relationship with God is intact. And you understand where you've been. And you understand how God looked down upon you in love and saved you. You understand that point. And in that it somehow gives a long suffering. I've been impressed with that over and over and over again with the Church of God. How that as a brother or a sister comes to a situation in their lives and they're discouraged And the church bears long with that individual. It starts with just a little visit. Maybe with a deacon. Maybe with a minister. Just a little one. And that brother opens up his heart. He's perplexed in life. And they listen. Try to give a little bit of encouragement. And then it goes on, and maybe the man, the brother, doesn't heed. And the way the scripture teaches with how the church works, they take a couple to him and try to beg with him, bear long with him. That's the Spirit of Christ. As I think back, beloved ones, to what God did to me, and how he was so long-suffering, how he just gently, gently guided. And it was through the little inspirations throughout life, the touches, the help from my brethren, that God chose, I don't know how it is, but well, if he chose, I don't know how that is, but his long suffering just bore along with me. As I think of working among humanity, learn the characters of the different personalities. Learn how people, what makes them tick. Be acquainted with yourself. Look at yourself and study your own life and how that, what about you? How do you understand your own nature? There's a lesson there. That evil nature that wants to come out of us and wants to exemplify itself, we can use that as a lesson. As we observe people, you know, to learn humanity and how they're made up is very helpful. As I think of the deaconry, as I think of the what your role is. Sometimes for myself, as I think of it, I wonder sometimes how the deacons do. But there is something about a deacon that I admire. And I think, I don't know, there's some deacons in the crowd here, and I don't know if I have it right at all. But it seems like that they have learned to stay flexible. Learn to stay flexible. Us ministers sometimes don't have it all together. And we have our lives and we all of a sudden come to church Sunday morning and haven't even thought about it, but someone needs to have opening. And then we ask the deacon. And the deacon is just supposed to have it all together. Supposed to have an opening and flexible. Come and prepared, but yet willing to lay it down. And then as a minister, he works in the congregation on a spiritual level. And all of a sudden he spins out. And he reaches out to his deacon. Tremendous support group. Tremendous support brother. All of a sudden I'm sorry, I wish I wasn't so emotional, but he leaves for revivals, and the water line breaks. Call the deacon. You know, the deacon just has to, well, he's been called to that, so he goes. But in doing that, that brother is blessed. I'm convinced of it. There's something about that. That he longs to be a service. Another thing that a deacon does, and I have found this way, and I'm not a deacon, but I found this way, and this is so true. Find ways of service to mankind that you will never get rewarded. Find ways to help mankind that you'll never get rewarded. You're going to find fulfillment there. That as you look in the congregation, and I'm sure you have done that already, that you look for areas that you can go and be a little help where nobody finds out about it. Look for those places. There's a blessing there. Faith, love, and humility go hand in hand. And as I think of that, just what I've talked about, that there's something rewarding about that as a man of faith, that as he moves forward in life and he conducts his life, that his faith is alive in the church of God, that the doctrines are alive. He loves his brethren. That's another point. And let's read that here. 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 15. Now we know that the history here between Peter and Paul, and how that Paul stood him to the face because of what Peter was doing there in Acts, I believe. And then Peter makes this statement here in 2 Peter 3, verse 15. An account that the longsuffering of our Lord is salvation. There it is again. He understood the suffering, the Lord, for salvation. Even as our beloved brother Paul. What made him think that? What made him say that? After he had been reprimanded in such a way in front of his friends, but yet he came to a realization and a love for that brother. Call him his beloved brother Paul. And I believe, Luke, you'll find that as you go on in life, that some of your close friends maybe, that they will come and they will tell you what they think you need to do. They might tell you something that is hurtful. Might, I don't know. Or you'll perceive, evil one likes to get in there, you'll perceive that they think this of you. You'll perceive that your staff members think this of you. But it's important. I'm going to relay a little story. It comes to a point. I'm going to finish this thought. I've said this here, I think, in a couple homes, so bear with me, but one of my cousins was married. Well, he was married to my first cousin, and they weren't, I don't know, they have three children. They moved there to Dalhart, Texas, and was there for several months, and he got ran over and killed, left behind a young family. And the Christmas before, I was sitting on the couch with him there in Scott City there. And he made a comment that has stuck with me, and he says, the church needs a little man. That's so profound. As I think of us as individuals, and as I think of you, Luke, the importance of realizing that the church needs more little man, and how that you need to be a little man. Little man in your own eyes. That as you go before your brethren, and they come and they hurt you, I'm going to just say it that way. Or there's something that hurts you. I think a lot of those hurts aren't intentional. It's just the evil one gets in there. And to realize that, you know, that long suffering of Christ can be in you. And that you can just bear long with one another. To be willing to be a little man. You'll find fulfillment in that in working in your gift. That as you work in whatever gift that is, to realize that you don't have the answers. To realize you need to cry out to God. To realize that maybe you feel like sometimes you do have the answers, but you tell yourself, no, I really, really don't. I work on that humility. Just work on that humility. Faith, love, and humility. Just remember that goes hand in hand. As you go on in life, be willing to be led to lead. Be willing to be led to lead. May God bless you. Wish you courage. I wish the congregation courage. It's a fine congregation. A working congregation. My heart has been warmed being here with you. And there are things as I have went in and out of your homes that has taught me a lesson. Appreciate that. I believe that you have a good home here, Luke, to work in, a good support group, and may God bless you.
Do you believe that it is in accord with God's will that qualified brethren are to be chosen to serve in the office of a deacon? Do you sincerely believe that you are called, according to the will of the Lord, to the office of a deacon?
I do.
Sheila, do you believe with your husband that he is called of the Lord to this office? Luke, are you willing to accept this service? And by the grace of God and the aid of the Holy Spirit, give yourself to the work which the office demands of you as a faithful steward in His church.
Aye.
To Sheila, are you willing to uphold your husband in his conviction that he may work unhindered in his call? Luke, do you promise to give heed to all the doctrines of the Word of God, to maintain and teach them in accordance with the interpretation of the conference and councils of the Church of God in Christ Mennonite, as far as the duties of this office shall require of you, and faithfully abide in them to the end? Congregation, please stand. Our Father, we come to you tonight. And, O Father, our hearts rejoice, and yet we know the burden that it places on our brother. We rejoice, Father, in your calling, that you've called him. You've placed that feeling in his heart, O Father, that there's a service that you're calling him to. And, O Father, tonight we just come to you and we ask that you would bless. Bless our brother Luke and his wife Sheila, that they can fulfill that calling that you've called them to. Oh, Father, give him a heart of compassion. Give him a heart of love for his brothers and sisters. Give him a heart of love, Father, and compassion for the needy. For those, Father, who are in unfortunate circumstances. We pray too, Father, that you would bless his wife as she stands by his side, that she too could have that heart of compassion and love. We pray too, as he would support the ministers of the church, that you would give him vision. Give him a willingness, Father, to stand in the gap when there's a need. And that, O Father, when he's called upon to assist in the preaching of the word, that he can do that. That he can be filled, can be inspired. Just continue to lead, Father. We know it's new for him. But, O Father, we trust and we believe that you will help him to grow. That you will lead him. You will guide him. And even as he manages or helps manage and the contributions of the Church of God, that he can be faithful. Can have wisdom, can have direction, can have understanding. Bless his family, Father. I know they have young children. Just help them too, that they can be there, give them grace to be obedient. And just, Father, help that their family can be, shine as a beacon in the community around them. We humbly pray, O Father, in Jesus' name. You are now an ordained deacon in the Church of God, Christ and Christ Mennonite. You are commissioned to administer contributions for the benefit of the church and mankind, care for the needy, comfort the suffering, and support the ministry of the church. May God bless you in your calling and service.
be no hope for you and me. For all my righteousness is filthy rags, and that's all I ever be but for the blood that cleansed and set me free. But for the blood that cleansed.
fight alone, that song said. God bless you. Thank you, each one, for being here tonight. I think it's been a beautiful evening. Are there any announcements here this evening that need to be left? Okay, if not, I think we'll give our brethren here a chance. They'd like to speak.
Well, I just want to express my thanks to you as a congregation. It's been good to be here again, and really enjoyed getting to know you as a congregation. And just want to wish you God's blessings as you go forward. Thank you for all the good meals, taking care of us. And I know a week ago or whatever it was when we were here, my wife received some flowers, and she said to tell the youth thank you for that. So may God bless you, and may He continue to go with you.
Yeah, I also want to express my thanks. The meals were very, very good, and the visitations was heavenly. I appreciated each one. I appreciate your faithfulness. May God bless you. Thank you to you for the flowers. They were very pretty. And I was just thinking of one more point here. 10 years from now, come tell Luke that you still support him. He'll like that.
I don't think I'm the only one that's really appreciated these brethren as they've went in and out with us, and just been impressed time and again. The thought's been on my mind how much they've given of themselves as they've been here, and just they've been a joy to work with, and I'm pretty sure that you all feel that way too. Those of you that would like to tell them thank you, just show that by raising your hand. So yes, thank you from all of us. Okay, very likely many of you will want to come up and show Luke and Sheila your support here after the service, and maybe if we could just make a line on the in the center aisle here to keep it a little bit orderly. That would be nice. So, okay, I think we'll let Tyler have closing prayer.
Let's arise for the benediction. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you, and we thank you, O Father, for your Holy Spirit. Your Spirit has been faithful and moved among this group. And, oh Father, the words that have been said, the commitments that have been made, oh Father, we just pray a holy benediction upon each one. Continue to give them their daily rate of strength and grace, oh Father. Be with Luke as he moves forward in his calling, that he can reach out to thee, oh Father, for that daily grace. Just be with each one, O Father, would be our prayer through Jesus' name. Amen.